Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another iteration of this thing we call Black Seinfeld, the show about absolutely nothing.
I am your host, Bastian Issa.
I go by the name of Psyche, man.
And this is it's a busy week.
Has it?
No, not for me. But it's going to be a busy week for a lot of people who are traveling to their families from overseas or from school.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Because, I mean, of course, we're recording this live here at Wednesday at 5 in the morning. That means tomorrow is Turkey Day.
Of course. The famous, notorious Thanksgiving. That neither of us do celebrate.
I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. I just eat food a lot on that day. I mean, I don't want to celebrate some genocide. You know what I mean? Because, you know, for a long time in the NYC public school district, in the public school system, we've been learning that, you know, the pilgrims and the indigenous people of this land, you know, they came together to have a feast, you know what I'm saying?
Have a good time.
Good times. Let the good times roll. But what they didn't tell you was what?
How they slaughtered over 300
natives. Afterwards.
Yeah, natives.
Exactly.
Afterwards, during. That's the day of.
Oh, wait. So they ate and then
there's no ate.
Oh, they never ate?
Nah.
Oh, see?
I think they learned a couple things. Then they just slaughtered them right after.
So the indigenous people just gave them some corn and then it was a wrap for them?
Basically, yeah.
You're in New York City public school system, ladies and gentlemen. Dang, I've been living a lot all the time.
It took me years to figure that out. Yeah.
That is the L of the week. Thank you very much.
We got to get rid. I'm going to say this every other episode. We got to get rid of that statue of Columbus.
Oh, absolutely.
In Columbus Circle. Absolutely. I used to work in that area. I used to pass by there every day and just look at it. It's like, mm-mm-mm.
So, dirty mofo.
Thanksgiving also brings Black Friday.
Of course. And we already discussed Black Friday.
Yeah, the concept of it. The whole, it's kind of a sham, but you do get good deals on Cyber Monday. That's what you should really look for.
Stay home on Black Friday. Wake up early on Cyber Monday.
Do you really want that TV? Because you didn't save for it.
True.
You just remembered a month ago that, oh, it's Black Friday. How much money do I have in my bank account? And can I get that TV?
You don't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's in your bank account.
No M's at all. So please don't try to hurt yourself on Black Friday.
Yeah, finish just eating. Be lazy.
Finish eating and chill with the fam.
Or just be lazy and just do it on Cyber Monday like the rest of the millennials.
Yeah. Cyber Monday is a 3-day weekend thing, too. So it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, got the deals all the way to Monday.
And plus, you know what's weird? You didn't even have to wait until Black Friday to get Black Friday deals anymore. Yeah. You know they don't do that anymore.
Because they stretched the concept of Christmas, so they also stretched the concept of Black Friday.
Hey, did you see all of those snowflakes outside when you were walking?
Yes.
Holiday season.
On Atlantic Avenue. So it's a lot of snowflakes. Same thing on Jamaica Avenue. Actually, anywhere that's kind of the least amount of work they have to put up to add a little seasonal flair, throw a snow up.
They were doing it after Halloween just to get it done. I remember it.
Yeah. It's like, let's get this over with before people start calling, complaining, hey, I would like to see some white lights while I'm driving at night.
Well, hey, man, in like one more week, I'll be in the holiday spirit because it's still November, the best month ever. I don't care.
Do you get cheery during the holiday spirit?
I actually do. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be one of those Scrooges who just sit down and be like, bah, humbug. I'm actually into it. You know, I want to see A Christmas Story on TBS. You know what I'm saying? I want to see Home Alone 1 and 2.
Oh, I agree.
It's a classic.
Die Hard.
Yes.
That's another classic.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon version.
Never cared for that.
You never liked How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
No, it just didn't connect to me.
Really?
Like the Cat in the Hat, all those other Charlie Brown.
Oh, really? Charlie Brown is awesome.
The Snowman. I thought it was weird.
Frosty?
But I do connect to the Rudolph story.
Why?
No, it was just that's something I grew up on.
Rudolph was a cokehead, though. Like his nose is always red. And Frosty was a weirdo, man. You know
that was yeah.
He was just white. You know, he always he wore gloves. Always around children.
No, the Rudolph.
Does this remind you of anyone? Allegedly,
Hollywood.
Yeah, man.
But Rudolph, no, he was like a mutation, genetic disorder, like shift. He was just different from everybody. And it's like, hey, even you look different, you still as strong as everybody else.
He was sire.
Yeah. So he was pushed to the side and ignored until they needed him. Then they just used him up, and that's it.
And then he became the man afterwards. Nah. You forgot that.
Nah.
No, yes. You didn't. You got to remember the song, okay?
No.
Yes. Rudolph guided the reindeer on that, you know, foggy Christmas Eve, and then became the man afterwards.
That's
he
making
saved
me
the day.
You're telling me that Santa has been doing this for centuries, concept-wise, and he just needed Rudolph that day?
Because it was foggy.
It's like, it's never been foggy on Christmas?
Apparently not, according to the song.
It must be global warming.
No, global warming.
Shots fired.
Global warming is not a thing, though.
Shots fired.
It's not an, I don't know what you're talking about, global warming. It's not global warming. I mean, yesterday was nearly 60 degrees, but it's not global warming. What are you talking about?
Well, we could actually segue this. Global warming, people that don't believe in it. Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump diss.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball.
The baller brand.
But I don't think LeVar Ball. Okay, 2 weeks ago, we were just discussing that his son, LiAngelo, got arrested for shoplifting at three shops in China. Copying, like, robbing glasses, like the Gucci glasses and stuff. Mm-hmm. Got arrested over there, had some trouble. You know, they picked him out, got him back to America, no problem.
No. Who got him out, though?
Wait. Got them out, UCLA suspended them indefinitely. They said they'll come back eventually, but they got to work hard to get their positions back, which I think would be next month, prediction-wise. But
who got them back?
President Trump said, I got out these black boys. Then you say it like that, but that's the way I read it.
Mm.
And I don't believe he had much to do, to be honest. I think there's the system. If you get arrested outside the United States, you call the embassy, and there's things set up in order to get out. And also, it's UCLA. They have connections in China, and they're not going to allow any of their players to get caught up in trouble there because it'll look bad on them. So do I think President Trump had anything to do with it? No, I don't. That's why LeVar Ball, he didn't say anything during the incident. He was quiet about it, which is weird, kind of off-brand. But definitely when he came back, you know, all three of the students, the UCLA students, said thank you to Trump in a very awkward, weird interview, press conference. They were forced to do that. But
yeah,
hey,
in order not to get kicked out,
I guess it's a good idea. You don't want to get expelled in your freshman year. You're not even 19 yet. But you know, they asked LeVar, how you feel, like, did you think Trump? He's like, who?
Who that?
Who that? And that's when everything kind of...
It's bad marketing.
Ran amok.
It's bad branding.
No, that's great branding.
No. Oh. No, you know, if he did say, yeah, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, 45, for everything you did.
I agree. So...
Like, no one gonna buy them damn shoes anymore now, bruh.
Exactly.
It's a wrap.
And I know LeVar Ball is really smart because you can't front. Every time he tries to explain himself, he does sound silly, but he's making a point. You're telling me that all these people trying to do a Nike deal, they have to give a percentage. Why can't they work together and try to do like a Jordan deal, you know, 50-50? You trying to eat off my name like easily? Nah, not doing that. Mm-hmm. So Donald Trump, not my fault, 45, went on Twitter, mm-hmm. called him out, saying, I should have left those boys in China. And you can't be doing that.
Hey, man, nah, bruh. Hey, this is why I keep telling y'all, man. 45 is like Goku. I know y'all saw that Ultra Kamehameha attack, bro.
Yeah.
This was 45's Ultra Kamehameha attack.
He keeps upping himself. Like, you can't get any sillier.
That's what I keep telling y'all. That's what I keep saying,
okay,
man.
Okay, I see what you
He is the Goku, bro. He is Goku.
He's in this Ultra Instinct. He's
been
in Ultra Instinct
mode
for
bro.
A very long time and just keeps getting higher and higher.
Girl gave him the... Yo, LeVar tried to give him the Kamehameha wave.
Yeah.
My man, 45... He's not my man's, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
45 just, you know, he surfed on that wave and then just blasted him in the face with that Ultra Kamehameha, bruh.
You're doing a lot of anime reference from the last Dragon Ball Super episode.
Bruh, did you see that?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. This mofo Goku is incredible. He is incredible.
It's interesting because I'm going to get that by the end of the episode because we're going to play some clips for AnimeCon.
Yeah, yeah.
Some interviews. But I do want to talk about how the anime industry, something like Toei, who creates Dragon Ball Z, just doesn't do so well in animation. But for some reason in that scene, It's like they gave all the expert animation skills and just sharpened it up, make it look nice and beautiful, even though they've been slacking for the past 2 years.
Nice and beautiful. That was orgasmic, bro. That was insane. It was, oh, my God.
It was interesting.
Oh, my God.
But LeVar Ball, like, going back to the topic, LeVar Ball went on CNN and just joked around, basically. It was funny. It was interesting. It was on brand. And at the end of the day, depending on your perspective, mm-hmm. I think you'll side with LeVar.
I like when the Ball guys just, like, you know, they show a lot of media their asses to kiss, because I think it's wonderful. I honestly do think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. Then you just, like, you know what? I'm going to buy those shoes because I'm big balling. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to buy it.
Lonzo, you need to ball up, son. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, gain some weight.
Ball up, Lonzo. You need to stop it. All right, you need to play.
You need to get better.
He does.
You got to master the game.
Bruh.
And someone who kind of mastered their game.
If you have him on your fantasy team, sorry.
Yeah. But speaking of someone that's mastered their game.
Who? Sire?
Yeah, of course, the young boy, Jaden Smith.
Sire.
We don't really, I don't know if we should talk about it, but I do find this project very interesting.
Yeah, I'm still listening to it because I'm still trying to understand the story.
Yeah.
Because for those of you who don't know, Jaden Smith, you know, the philosopher of our time,
of course.
Young Jaden, came out with an album recently called Sire, okay? And I'm trying to still understand this story because it's about this kid named Sire, and he seems like this misfit, and you know, Jaden's with the misfit music, so Sire seems like this misfit outcast kid who's pretty hard to understand, and then he's like with this girl who kills him, and
yeah,
and then
sure
he's like
about that.
he dies, but then he's rebirth. I don't know if he's like Jesus or something.
Maybe he wasn't really killed, but he felt lost.
Where maybe it was just like a Drake album. Maybe he was just heartbroken off of this girl.
My take on it,
it seems like depression. Maybe that's what I was getting from it.
My take on it is, like, if you remember, because the internet, Childish Gambino, which dropped in 2013,
yeah,
was basically the story of rich kids like Jaden, like rich young black kids, like, oh, you want to be connected to the culture, but this is what you're kind of about. This is what I think. This is like Jaden's take on it. So
interesting.
Yeah, about him just constantly pushing and evolving. I know people probably look at the project like, why would I listen to it? It's like, nah, it's like you should check it out.
Oh, no.
I think you should appreciate the production.
Jaden Smith on this album. It's a great album. I'm not going to lie, man. I already knew it was going to be good because Bastion hit me up. He was like, man, I'm shocked at how good it is. And I was like, I'm really not. Because Jaden's always this artistic person. He's just an artist. Like, he's a cool actor. Okay, my favorite Jaden movie is still The Pursuit of Happiness. It's The Pursuit of Happiness. That was when he was like, what, five?
Yeah, it was like eight, like, yeah, 5 year old Jaden.
And I heard one track Jaden put out was Fast. Why you drive so fast?
Yeah, that was your first track.
That was the first track I listened from him.
Oh, okay.
From him, yeah. Right? I was like, whoa. Jaden can rap.
For me, it was the remix he did with Justin Bieber.
He did a remix with Bieber?
Yeah, he's really, really good friends with Bieber.
Oh, man.
Yeah, imagine being young in Hollywood. It's like those two connected.
I don't want to get into Bieber because I have a funny story about Bieber.
All right. But the first track is like a four-part track intro called Blue.
No, it's not Blue. It's B-L-U-E.
Yeah, sir. Sure, because the first track is all Willow Smith.
Yes.
Right? It's all Willow Smith. Then just transitions
can't sleep
into him,
without the
then
just
moves on.
Quill.
Then it's just very like, you should just check out the first four tracks because it's pretty much one long track.
It reminds me a lot of Kanye's 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah, it's a mix of all levels of Kanye.
Yeah,
recent, like from 808 to now. So
absolutely,
a little My Dark Twisted Fantasy, gorgeous vibe.
A little bit of Drake in there too.
Yeah,
from the vocals, some experimental in there too.
But you can tell he's rapping about something.
Absolutely, I'm talking about the whole album as a whole.
Yeah,
like all the influences. You got some rock elements in there. You got some experimental elements in there. Hell, you even got some dance up in there. Falcon, which is one of my favorite tracks featuring Rory.
That was a great song.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing about this album, it's very long. It's about too long. Because for me, I could probably stop the album at Lost Boys. Like, after that track,
absolutely,
I'm done. Because then there's a whole set list of other songs. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah, because in Lost Boy, he was like, yeah, you know, shout out to the whole Mystic team. He was basically doing what every rapper in the early 2000s did. He just...
The last call.
Exactly. This is the last call. Lost Boy was the last call of Sire, and then it just switched over to Batman.
Yeah, and that song was underwhelming. But Icon did bring it back up.
Yeah.
And that was a great song. Check out the music video. We're not really promoting Jaden, but we're saying that people can evolve even though you're, like, a rich. Like, shout out to Jaden being the freest black kid.
Yeah, man.
Like, he's the concept of free black kids.
You know, sometimes I think Jaden, he's just a teen.
Yeah.
You know, he's just doing what he's doing. So, you know, sometimes when he tries to sound deep and all, I'm like, yeah, shut up. You're just a teen.
Yeah. Then there's another rapper who dropped the album.
Oh, yeah. Saha the Prince.
Saha the Prince. No Dope.
Finally.
On Sundays.
This finally.
Is his breakout album. He's been in good music probably since 2010. Because he definitely did help out on the writing with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Great rapper. I'm not really too into because his voice is very raspy. But definitely you should check out this project. No Dope on Sundays. Okay. Produced by Kanye. Uh-huh. A lot of tracks. And... It has the both classic vibe of like the hard knocking hip hop.
Yep.
But at the same time, they do have the vibe of, oh, you know, we're trying to do something else futuristic wise. You know?
That is true.
Just the bump, the bass, the raps, the constant switch in beats, which is very interesting. Like, it does have like Pusha T, Schoolboy Q, 2 Chainz on it. And then it's not like they're overwhelming the track. They're there.
Right.
They fit and you're able to move on because there's a lot of features.
Okay. All right.
And also the Kanye West verse, you know, that's...
Of course,
that's
yeah.
That's great.
Oh, I want to say one thing. There's another album that came out that, you know, a lot of people probably slept on and, you know, hip-hop heads like myself definitely listened to. Radio Silence by Talib Kweli.
Oh, yeah.
Came out. Brooklyn legend, you know, underground legend.
What's your thoughts on the whole album?
It's Talib Kweli, man. You know what you gonna get.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy. I'm not a big fan of him.
Okay, that's fair to say.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like, he has his songs that I like, but I'm not very particular. I'm not really crazy about his own rap style.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
This album is just, it's real, it's hip. I'm not going to say real. It's hip-hop that you expect from Talib Kweli. It's a lot of boom bap, okay?
Yeah.
There's some good collabs. Like, one of my favorite ones is Traveling Light featuring Anderson .Paak. And actually, back at Afropunk, Anderson .Paak did bring out Talib Kweli, so that was pretty awesome, and it's cool to see him doing a track. You got a lot of collabs on there. Yes, I know you saw J-Elect.
That's
on
the only song I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw Talib Kweli, clicked it to see who's on it. I saw J-Electronica.
Like, oh, I'm gonna listen to it because J-Elect's on it.
And I was listening to Cyrus at the time. I paused it. Clicked J-Electronic song. Heard that. Heard his voice, his verse back to back. You know, you just click reverse, reverse, reverse. And like, oh, man. Amazing. Well, back to real life again. Because he's never coming out with Act 2.
Absolutely not. It's like detox.
Yeah.
It's never happening.
Yeah, all right.
But it's cool.
It's interesting. And Tame Impala came out with a B-Sides album of remixes. Just 5 tracks, 2 remixes, and 3 songs never heard before. Kind of fits the vibe of the last album, Currents, if you're interested in that.
All right, cool.
Definitely. And also, another huge news for music, in my opinion, is Kanye West has been gone, disappeared for the year.
He went to the mountains.
If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that I'm a huge Kanye West fan. And I retired for a bit as a stan, as Gio keeps calling me out.
You were?
Yeah, so I retired for a bit. I did purchase some tickets, then he disappeared probably a month before the concert was supposed to happen, and I missed out seeing him in Albany. And it's been a year since then. Like, he pretty much disappeared early November. Now it's like 1 year since his disappearance. And allegedly, he's supposed to produce multiple good music artists' his next album. So you have Pusha T, then you have Teyana Taylor, even Kid Cudi, who's not part of good music anymore, but in spirit he still is, because they've been constantly seen together, and that could be Yeezy season again for 2018.
That's my most anticipated album so far, that Kid Cudi album. Okay? Yeah. Because, you know, last album he had, you know, it was long. Okay. There was only a handful of tracks that I was rocking with, a lot of them with Mr. Andre Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah, two songs by him. That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were the only tracks I liked. Oh yeah, and Willow, Rose Golden.
That was an amazing
song. That was a beautiful song.
Yeah, the album was called Passion and Pain and Demon Slayer, mm-hmm. kind of slaying, off-putting title, mad long, but I did cut it up. I remember I told you I cut it up into 11 tracks.
That's right.
Because I'm not listening to all that noise.
You don't like all of his hum game is amazing.
It's amazing, but I'm not trying to listen to 19 tracks.
I understand.
It's a bit much.
I didn't even finish this album.
86 minutes. That's too long for albums sometimes.
I still didn't finish that album.
It's too long sometimes.
I still ain't finished the Chris Brown album. That's like the Hobbit movie.
Did you really want to listen to that?
I really did. I actually did. I'm not going to lie. I actually did. I was listening to a lot of them, you know. They were listenable. They were sonically pleasing.
All right.
And I just haven't finished it yet.
So... Next topic.
Yes, I am so hyped to talk about this because I am a freak, ladies and gentlemen. Meaning that, you know, I'm into a lot of weird stuff. You know, I like to study a lot of like cult leaders. And one of my favorite channels is the ID channel. And I'd go on Netflix and I'd watch like serial killers and murder mysteries and all that. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, B.I.H. to Mr. Charles Manson, you know. One of the infamous legends of our time. And for those of you who don't know what B.I.H. means, if R.I.P. is rest in peace, then B.I.H. would be what, Bastion?
I'm not even sure.
Burn in hell.
Oh, wow. I never heard that in my life.
I just came up with it. Oh. So, burn in hell, Mr. Charles Manson, you know. But Charles Manson, for those, well.
I'm not too sure who he is because the first time I've heard of him was the opening of Ex-Military by Death Grips because they used one of his quotes.
Really?
And I was like, oh, this is a very edgy quote, and it did shape the rest of the album.
Really? So basically, Charles Manson is this guy who, for all intents and purposes, was revered as this sort of like faux Jesus. He came up with this whole cult, right? And they called him, and he called it the family, right?
Yeah.
Charles Manson and the family. And basically, what the family was. This took place in the 60s. So in the 60s, you know, it was very revolutionary. But also, it was the hippie era. It was a time of love and peace. And, you know, it was a lot of, like, wandering around. And Charles Manson rounded up, like, a lot of girls, like, early as 17, 18, even 19, right? And, like, he would, like, give a mass in. And they all just, like, have orgies and stuff. And they revered this dude. I'm talking, like, revered this guy. So, it was interesting because last week we talked about the Beatles' White Album, right?
Yeah.
And so, Beatles' White Album came out around that time of, I believe, 1969.
Okay. And great album, by the way.
One of the songs,
yeah,
that's one of my favorite songs, is Helter Skelter, right? Mm-hmm. So, Charles Manson is listening to this song, Helter Skelter, and he believes that in this song, Helter Skelter, that the Beatles are talking to him. And what they're saying is that there's going to be this whole race war between black people and white people. So what Charles Manson decided to do was start the race war early. You know what I'm saying? And he called this whole plan Helter Skelter based off the Beatles' White Album track.
Strange.
So what he did was he rounded up all these girls that he knew, you know what I'm saying, that was living with him. And this homie, his like right-hand man, Tex, right? Tex Watson, and they went around to like one of the most pristine spots in LA and basically slaughtered Miss Sharon Tate, who was an up and coming actress. Like she was starting to get well known, and at the time she was pregnant too, bruh. So Charles was waiting in the car and he told the girls, like, yo, Helter Skelter, start this.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you that Miss Sharon Tate was murdered, it's not even, I can't even say that lightly, because what they did was they just stabbed this woman up so many times, at least over 50, killed the baby too. And what they did was they took the blood and they spread, like, they put the word pig on like the front door to make it seem like black people did it to start off this race war. It was insane.
Interesting.
Yep. Oh, by the way, there was also company with Sharon Tate at the time because I believe it was a party. Yeah, they murdered everyone there. Stabbed them up. I'm talking ruthless.
Then when did he get caught and jail sentenced and stuff? Like years later or?
No, at least like a week later, because the day after the Tate murders, they did it again day after. So I believe the stabbings came up to about like 162 times.
Mm.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the girls did a carving on one of the dead carcass's body.
Yeah.
To insinuate again another race war to happen. And yeah, they got caught. They did get caught. And the crazy thing about it was the most interesting of this is Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
Yeah.
He did not kill anyone. He just led people to kill him. So whenever he was in court, like trying to fight for his life, he's like, "Yo, I never killed anyone." He kind of right though. He never killed anyone.
But he gave everybody the task.
He gave everyone the motive to do it. Yeah. And that's why he's so interested. And that's why I was so interested in cults, because Charles Manson is the figurehead of a cult leader.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think what he would do is like get girls that are like so young and innocent, sometimes even troubled, and they just revered him. And that was always interesting to me, because how do you manipulate people into doing what you want, yet again kill for you? That's just insane. So I was just always interested in cults, and Charles Manson is the reason why I was interested in cults from jump.
Yeah, respect the whole cult member thing.
Yeah,
That's weird. It kind of reminds me of the whole Captain Murphy, Flying Lotus's alter ego, where he kind of created a cult member, and you kind of had to following him through this like very weird, interesting journey within the album. That's like, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best albums by him by far.
Well, but look at Jim Jones. Are you familiar with Jim Jones?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Jonestown?
Yeah.
That's a cult.
That's just strange.
That's a cult though, man. Again, there's something with, there's a common denominator with these cult leaders where they're charismatic, you know, they have this energy about them, they have this way that they carry themselves, that as you know, they believe that they're this leader and they believe in all these words that they're saying and people buy it. That is, I don't know, I'm always fascinated by that, aren't you?
Nah, not really. But I don't mind the concept of like listening into music, because as you explained it, the song that the Death Grips had in the first track kind of makes sense, because the hook was "I am the beast I worship." And it's like, you kind of have to believe in your own reality.
He was basically Charles Manson was the face of evil. I remember writing a report on Charles Manson in my senior year of high school. And I remember, I think in the first line I said something on the lines of, I gave the date and time and when that murder took place. And I was like, that was a time where free peace and love just ended, because that's how people, felt it, because once that murder happened, no one wanted to go outside. Everyone was just like kaput. Like Cali was on a standstill, especially LA. It was on a standstill. But I rest my case. Burn in hell, Charles Manson. You're a legend, but you're gonna live in infamy forever. And it's time to get into song of the week. I'm hype about the song of the week, y'all. Bastion isn't, because you know it's typical, but you know you gotta live off the nostalgia sometimes.
There's better anime theme songs out here.
But there's nothing more well known than this song right here.
All right, I give you that.
Thank you very much.
All right, listen to
song of the week. It's Dragon Ball Z, man. Yep. The Japanese version. Chala, Hetchala. Let's get into it. We'll be right back. Black Seinfeld. Cheer.
Fly away,
Welcome back to Black Seinfeld, y'all. Show about absolutely nothing. That was the intro to Dragon Ball Z, and I just went Super Saiyan listening to it. It was a good feeling. It was a good feeling.
Yeah, this Black Seinfeld show about absolutely nothing here at 99.5 FM WBAI.
There you go.
So please follow us on Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, at Black Seinfeld NY. We just posted up a swag bag.
Yeah, man. We're going to give away some free swag from AnimeCon, powered by Crunchyroll, man.
Yes, check it out. It's on our Instagram.
Yeah, so if you want it, all you got to do, man, you just got to be the first one to hit us up on the Instagram or email us at blackseinfeld@gmail.com. And you got some good stuff from there, man. Tell them what they got, Bash. Tell them what they got, man.
Well, you got a nice badge from Dragon Ball Z.
Super.
A super of Goku Black. In the whole kind of interesting Super Saiyan Rose form, which is a very interesting arc for the future Trunks arc. Then you have a couple posters from Sword Art Online, which is coming out with a movie soon. Got interesting cards, got comic books from Ninja Express. And a very interesting Crunchyroll bag. Nice and art and stuff. But we do have more swag.
Hey, man.
Coming up later.
Free. This is a thank you for rocking with us, man, because you don't have to rock with us. So as a way to give back, we want to give you back this free swag bag that I got from AnimeCon, man. And plus, my intern, Fernando, he's going to give me some more free stuff that he doesn't want. So we're going to give that to y'all, man.
Of course. And before we get into the interview that you did on the last week on Friday, the voice actress, Hiromi Suzuru, passed away at 57, and she's mostly known for the voice of Bulma.
Bulma's gone, y'all.
Of Dragon Ball Z, and it was very interesting because that her last episode was probably a couple months ago. So, definitely have to say that.
Rest in peace. You will forever be a legend in our childhoods and in our hearts.
So, yeah. So, right now, we're going to play the interview that Giovanni did.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Black Seinfeld, show about absolutely nothing. I go by the name of Psyche, and we're here still at the first ever anime convention powered by Crunchyroll, so shouts out to Crunchyroll. I'm here with the guys of Ninja Express. Can you guys please tell me your names? What work did you put into this comic book?
My name is Ozu Newton. I'm the colorist and letterer.
My name is Derek Charles. I'm the writer and creator.
Okay, first off, why Ninja Express?
What was the process to actually think of a Ninja Express? What was the process of actually coming up with this comic book? How long did it take for you guys to make this?
So I was getting ready to graduate from college, and I was majoring in business management, human resources, and realized I didn't want to do business management, human resources the rest of my life. And I just happened to be getting back into comics and anime and manga. But I realized there was a lot of issues I had with the mediums. So I said, if the people who are actually doing this aren't very good at it, why don't I give it a try? So I decided to write my own comic. And that was about 9 years ago. And I just got Ninja Express published about 2 years ago.
And then I joined in, became friends in jury duty. So that's why, yes, go to your jersey. You don't know whoever you're gonna meet.
Small
world. Jury duty. I came up with a graphic design background, became close friends, realized he needed some help, decided to partner in. And we started working from there. So I started about 2-3 years ago.
Now you just mentioned that there's certain issues that you didn't really like within anime. Can you explain what some of those are?
I would definitely say, I guess characters being put in a place where it looks like they're gonna die and then copping out. That was a big gripe I was having with a lot of the ongoing shonen at the time. So in Ninja Express, no one dies in the first issue, but that'd be a lie. But
Spoiler alert.
But so we did want to have a big issue I had was mostly in shonens, female characters suck. And I wanted to try to introduce a variety of diverse characters, including both male and female, that are really cool. That's why I put a lot of effort in making Sayaka a three-dimensional, strong female character.
I guess my opinions about anime is the never-ending shonens. You need to have a story arc that needs to have an eventual ending. If it goes on too long, you eventually lose your audience. It never feels like you're fully satisfied.
I don't know. Are you throwing some shots at One Piece? One time it's like 700
I'm not
episodes.
One Piece.
It's like 700 episodes.
One Piece.
What?
Keep
going.
We have a fan here of One Piece showing up to the Ninja Express booth right now.
No, so One Piece is actually one of my favorite shonens. My favorite shonen is Yu Yu Hakusho.
Woo!
Yes.
My man.
But what I liked about Yu Yu Hakusho, I think it topped out maybe at what? 380 episodes or so. Yep. One Piece just had episode 813.
Really? And they're all great. I'm telling you.
So maybe since I'm getting older, I don't have as much time to devour 813 episodes of an anime, and that's just one of the 9 anime I'm watching. But I like having more condensed storylines. I would love it if anyone from Funimation is listening, for them to condense every arc into a 2-hour movie. I will buy that and watch them all.
Okay, all right. You guys feel exposed to ideas or themes that you otherwise wouldn't be if you were never involved with anime or manga?
Oh, absolutely. Just all the stuff from Japanese culture that's in anime and manga. I remember when I was first watching Pokemon, and they had a rice ball called a donut. I was like, that's not like any donut I've ever seen. So I ended up looking up what it was. I was like, oh, that looked good. I need to go have one sometime.
And do you guys put any ideas or themes into your own comic book that you feel are unique to Ninja Express and not mirrored elsewhere?
I would like to think so.
I know we have a lot of discussions on Roundtable. We try to figure out what the story arc is.
So we definitely try to put some themes into anime you don't always happen to see. So our main character in Volume 1 deals with low self-esteem, bullying, trying to build his confidence, and not so much in the typical shonen way of just yelling about friendship and getting over it.
Or getting some overpower, superpower of that.
I don't know, man. It seems like you're throwing some shots again at popular animes, man. It seems like you're not really digging the popular stuff.
I'm more of an outskirts type of anime. I guess well, Fullmetal Alchemist isn't really outskirts. That's probably super mainstream. But I'm more of the, what was it, Master of Killing Time?
Oh yeah, what was, I forgot the...
The Japanese name for it.
Sekikun.
Yeah, Kanoe no Sekikun. Mm. Shorter, comical themes. It has to do with age as well. We're getting old. Less time.
I don't have time for this. Why won't they just find One Piece already?
What do you guys think is unique to the medium of anime or manga?
Definitely the art style. Like the art style, some of the themes, some of the character archetypes. Just the quality that goes into the actual art style. The fact that they are willing to spend something good about shonen, long shonen, they're actually willing to spend an entire episode on one fight. So you get that really detailed fight you don't get in most American cartoons, because they want to put 3-4 fights in, plus move the story forward and have the whole story wrapped up in 22 minutes. So that's something you definitely only find in anime.
Well, I think also what you find in anime and manga is that you find more adult storylines. It seems like Japanese culture isn't as restrictive compared to American cartoon animation. So they're willing to take more chances. They're willing to include more relationship drama, more development, character development, more depth than a lot of cartoon animation, American cartoon animation.
As creators, what do you see in the future, for the future of anime or manga?
I definitely feel anime is definitely becoming more mainstream in terms of it getting localized more. Like, I think Attack on Titan was running both dubbed and subbed last season, right?
Mm-hmm. Plus, and your Crunchyroll, that does dub it simultaneously.
So I remember back when I was a kid, I need to go to Fordham Road, find a VHS store who has burned copies of Dragon Ball Z just to see how what happens on Namek. Now we have Netflix doing their own anime, doing American anime. So I think anime is definitely becoming more mainstream, and it's not just going to be Japanese anime soon. It's going to be anime from all different cultures and backgrounds, and that's why I'm making Ninja Express. I want to try to bring my experiences into and use anime for that.
What we call that? Word of May?
Word of May?
World of May.
World of May? Oh. edit that, please.
I have something. I actually want to get into Ninja Express. For the listeners, can you give like a brief synopsis of what Ninja Express is, the main character, the overall themes of the comic book?
So Ninja Express is a story about Otaki. He's always felt like he's lived the life of a side character, so he joins his high school ninja club. Once he does, he meets Sayaka, the club president. She wants to make Ninja Express the best club on campus, and she's willing to lie, cheat, and steal to do it. And in the first volume, her antics cause her to come into conflict with the bigger, more powerful ninja club on campus, the Ninja Beast Assassination Squad. To find out what happens, buy Ninja Express Volume 1.
And if someone wants to purchase Ninja Express, where can they go to pick this up?
We're on Comixology for digital download and Indie Planet on print on demand.
All right. Thank you very much, guys, for your time. I know I'm going to purchase one right now because that sounds actually pretty badass. Thank you very much for your time, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Black Seinfeld, show about absolutely nothing.
This is Fernando here with
Tori Worldwide Blonde Smith cosplaying Winry from Full Metal Alchemist.
Awesome. So let me ask you a couple questions. What was the first anime that you ever watched?
It was actually Full Metal Alchemist. This is actually Winry 2.0 that I'm currently wearing. It was my first cosplay as well 3 years ago. And I watched Full Metal Alchemist and I fell hard for the genre and never looked back.
What is your favorite thing about anime?
that anime, just the crazy things that you're able to pull off in this medium. Like, if you want to go to space and also have magic and have great love stories and humor, you can do it. It's just a kaleidoscope of stuff going on.
Does your love of anime extend to a love of Japan or Japanese culture?
Oh yes, I actually went to Japan about 6 months ago, and you can bet your butts I went to Akihabara and did some hardcore shopping.
Do you feel exposed to ideas or themes that you otherwise wouldn't be if you weren't watching anime?
For sure. I think a lot of their cultural ideals, such as, you know, respect for your elders and just that politeness, and then also the whole kawaii aspect of some other types of anime, you don't really see a whole lot in American culture. And if you do, it's as a joke. Japan takes it very seriously.
Do you feel judged by others who don't watch anime or don't understand what anime is?
Only rarely. If they do judge, it's just because they haven't really delved into what anime could be. And so if someone's judgy towards me, I'm like, let me share with you what's so awesome. And then hopefully get them on my side.
Do you feel that the anime fan base is diverse, or is it skewed towards one demographic?
I would say it's pretty diverse. I mean, looking around here today, you're seeing people of all shapes, sizes, ethnicities, genders, cosplaying whoever they want, just being however they want. I think that's really awesome.
Do you feel that there are any issues within anime, perhaps the portrayal of certain characters or exaggeration of certain traits?
I guess the only qualm I would have is there are some genres of anime that can get a little too risque for my taste, but to each their own, and as long as it's not hurting anybody, then it doesn't hurt me, so I'm pretty okay with things right now.
And last question, what do you see in the future of anime?
The future? Oh my goodness, who knows? Honestly, it could go so many directions, and the technology that they're using to animate these days is also growing and making things visually exciting, and I don't know where it'll go, but I'm very excited to see what happens.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time, Sam.
Thank you.
And we're back. Black Seinfeld show about absolutely nothing, man. About 5 minutes left. And I hope you enjoy those little bit of interviews that we got over at AnimeCon. This was the first ever AnimeCon powered by Crunchyroll. So there was a lot of ups, a lot of downs during my experience at this time. And shouts out to our intern, Fernando, for coming with me and doing all he could to get some interviews down. But those were two of the best ones that we got. A lot of them were very awkward, very shy, and I understand that because, you know, someone's putting a mic in front of their face.
It turns to a new pressure if you're not practicing.
True. And plus, nerds can be very awkward people sometimes.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I get it. But AnimeCon, it was fun, man. It was definitely fun. And, you know, thank you to the people over at AnimeCon for sending us a couple of press passes in order for us to go. Thank you, because you didn't have to, so it means a lot.
Yeah, it was very interesting last minute that we got the email.
Yeah, because last week we were like, we were going to go to AnimeCon. No, it was like 2 weeks ago. It was like, yeah, we wanted to go to AnimeCon, but like, yeah. We ain't really get it, but whatever. We don't care anyways. Week after. Oh, yo, we going to AnimeCon. Awesome. Let's go. But it was a cool experience. There, one thing that I enjoyed, you know, that everyone was here for the anime culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of cosplay going on, and there was a lot. It was just unity there. It was fun just to talk to people about favorite animes, what animes got them into watching anime. The future of it, the future of the culture, where do you think it's headed now, the power of Crunchyroll. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was definitely fun.
There's some interesting thing. It's like who was the first guys you were talking to?
Oh, the guys were from Ninja Express. They were great. And the reason why I wanted to talk to them, too, is because they're from New York as well. So you gotta show that NY love.
Yeah.
And I do have their comic book. I am going to read it when I get to it.
Definitely. They're talking about how like some shonen shows are like boring as time progresses, and because there's so many episodes, they lose the audience.
They were throwing shots.
And it's not the person, the creator's fault. It's because it works like a TV show. If a TV show is done well, the network is getting ratings, they're going to push it. And it's like, no, you need to build more episodes, like make more episodes, have fillers. That's why there's so many terrible episodes sometimes, because they need filler episodes so the manga could, you know, go forward a bit. So once they get to that point, they have some context to kind of draw on. True.
But even then, like, your filler episodes can be fun too, because I feel like Dragon Ball Z has some of the best fillers ever.
At the time, you could say that, but if you like right now, it'll be great. You know, most of Dragon Ball Z right now is filler. Actually, super. It is filler, super. But if you compare it to like when like Naruto after the whole Sasuke arc ended, like it was like a whole 60 episodes of just straight filler.
Really?
Right afterwards, then they moved into Shippuden. It's like different type of shows, depending on the era. I think any show after 2006 that came out, the filler wasn't good, or people were not pleased at all.
How many fillers does One Piece have?
Not as much as you would think, because really? For some reason, every time they do a filler, most TV shows would do a filler for 20, 25 episodes, 15 episodes. One Piece would do it for less than 10, probably like 6 episodes.
That's interesting.
Which is bad, because it should have had a lot more fillers, in my opinion. But you don't know what Oda's going to do in the future, so you do not want to mess up his train of thought.
I know one thing, though.
Yeah.
They're not going to find the One Piece.
I know that. It's definitely
over. I know that.
That's what I was going to tell them. If I was there, I was like, it's definitely over the past few years, the concept of One Piece has changed. You don't want them to find One Piece. Not right now. Just.
I do.
Yeah, you don't watch it. You don't understand there's exactly. A lot of subplot going on that's way more important.
What are y'all on, 800?
Yeah, and we're 800 more episodes to go.
I need like a good couple months to watch them all.
Yeah, but you said you definitely enjoyed the experience.
I definitely enjoyed the experience. Some things that they can improve on is expand the floor that they're on, because for those of you who went to Comic-Con, the way it was set up is Anime-Con was set up on the left side of the Javits Center. So remember where the block used to be? That's where AnimeCon was. Like, that's where most of it was. And so it was very tight. It was very compact, especially on Friday. It was a lot of bumping into people. And I wish they could just spread that out a bit more. That's all the complaints I really have. So
next time, they have a bigger audience to come through.
Word.
This is Black Seinfeld Show about absolutely nothing here at 99.5 FM WBAI.
Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram at Black Seinfeld NY.
Hit us up if y'all want that free Crunchyroll swag bag, man. Thank you very much.
Free swag. I'm Bastian Nissa.
I go by the name of Psyche. Thank you. Peace. Happy Turkey Day. Peace. Don't go to Black Friday. Peace.